for this computer. Again, thank you for being here with us today. We have the pleasure of having Sister Lalita Crenshaw from Nashville, Tennessee, to render a word for us. I believe she's in Shelbyville. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're in Shelbyville, right? Which is not too far from Nashville. Sister Lalita Crenshaw, I met this awesome woman during the 100 Days of Prayer of the Churches of Christ, which is a program, a LLC, that allows the women of the body of Christ to pray together for one another for 100 days straight each year. And there's other other programs and other ministries within that program, but I had the distinct pleasure of meeting this sister on my first prayer leg. And when I tell you, we've been attached to the hip ever since. We have. Sister Lalita, she has so much about her that I didn't know until I got this long, awesome bio from her daughter. I was like, oh, extra stuff. I ain't know she did all of that. She is one awesome, phenomenal woman. And I didn't realize how much I would glean from her just being in her presence. So she does devotions quite a bit. So she's not new to this. As a matter of fact, she leads the devotion for her church on Tuesdays at this particular time with her ladies. So she's stepping away for a moment to render a word to us on today. And she has with her on the call her daughter and her granddaughter, both Sister Tracy Crenshaw and Sister Yaharia Crenshaw. And I welcome you both on the call. So at this time, I'm not going to take any more of my dear sister's time because we need a word. I need a word because y'all know I'm crazy. I need something to uplift me today. So at this time, I'm going to turn over the floor to Sister Lalita Crenshaw to give us a word on today. Sister Crenshaw, the floor is yours.
Good morning, sisters. How are you all this morning? I bring you greetings from the Bird Street Church of Christ in Shelbyville, Tennessee, where Brother Anthony R. Booker is the minister and the husband of our illustrious Our Booker. I want to thank you for this opportunity to come and share in your devotional time with you. And if I had known that Sister Mae was going to have such an awesome prayer, I would have put my name in there and I wouldn't have to pray now for us beginning our lesson. But if you bow with me quickly and I'll just be to the point. Oh, wise God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome day. We've had a little rain and different places has a lot of heat. But Lord, just thank you for allowing us another day to get it right. Be with me while I share with my sisters this devotional time, and that I will be edified and encouraged as well as them. I love your word, and I love you, Lord. Please be with us the rest of this time and help us that we fellowship and glean from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic this morning is from your theme, and it's entitled, Oh, That I May Know Him. My scripture is from several locations, but the main text is from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. And if someone could just flip there right quick for me and read it, I would surely appreciate it. Philippians 3:10.
All right, I have it.
Y'all, see y'all with each other each Tuesday. Come on.
Can y'all hear me? I have it.
Okay.
You said Philippians 3:10?
Yes.
And I'm reading from the NIV version. And it says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
And that's, well, you did it. You hit it right on the head. The other scriptures that I gleaned from were the whole book of Philippians 3, 1 Corinthians 3:10, Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9, Joshua 8, 1. And these have just helped me in preparing this lesson. What is the greatest desire of a Christian? I sat and thought about that, and I said, you know, throughout scripture, the great men and women of God say that their passion is to truly know him. Moses says, God, I pray you show me your glory in Exodus 33:18. Then David prays, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God, Psalms 42:1. And then Paul says that the heart longs to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, Philippians 3:10. Now, the greatest desire of us is to know God. Every Christian, and not, you know, and not really know God, you know, it's possible to be a Christian and not really know him. But every other desire pales in significance to this. Here we go. Did you know that that is a possibility to be a Christian and not really know him? John 14:8-9 tells us that Philip, after following Jesus for a number of years, says to him, Lord, show us the Father. And then Jesus replied, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me? Maybe the problem is the word know, K-N-O-W. When the Bible talks about knowing God, it's not referring to a merely intellectual exercise. Knowing God does not mean knowing facts about God or knowing his resume and reciting it or hearing testimony of what someone else, you know, has, what God has done for someone else. Knowing God involves encountering him and finding, and I lost my place, okay, and finding out that he is who he says he is. The great I am. It might seem surprising that Paul says he wants to know God in Philippians 3:10. After all, you know, he knew all about God from his intense training in the law and his lofty stature in the Jewish community. In Philippians 3:4-7, Paul explains that he met all the religious qualifications of the day, and he was at the apex of Jewish leadership. Then Paul knew all about God, so he thought. But Paul did not know God until he met Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus. Paul's life changed because God revealed himself to Paul. And he didn't reveal himself to Paul because Paul knew all the right answers. That's why Paul says he should have no confidence in the flesh, verse 3 of Philippians. In order to truly know God, Paul says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ, in verse 7. Paul had to be willing to turn his back on his human accomplishments in order to gain knowledge of Christ. He continues more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's in verse 8. He put aside all those things that were earthly and humanly. Paul uses the present tense verb count here, indicating that this is occurring in his life at the time of his writing. This shows us that even after the moment of his salvation, Paul continues to put the things of the world far below the priority of knowing Jesus Christ. This is an example of sanctification, which started at the cross with salvation, continues to influence the way we live. Christ becomes a Christian's greatest passion. Knowing him is the Christian's number one priority. The power of knowing Christ, oh, my sisters, Paul says that he longs to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Don't you? This power is the same force that brought Christ out of the grave And every believer in Christ Jesus has been resurrected, for we died with him, we were buried with him in baptism, and we have risen with him from the water grave of baptism. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we understand the power of the resurrection. Paul is saying that he wants to know what it's like to live a resurrected life, to no longer be in bondage to sin and to the flesh. So no, and he wants to have that victory over sin. So knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection means that you live a resurrected life yourself. My first parable is, if you stick a fireplace poker into the fire and leave it for a long period of time, it will become red hot, signifying that the heat of the fire has heated poker. Now, if you take that poker and hold it close to a piece of paper, the paper will catch on fire because the heat will transfer to the paper. Whatever that poker touches will be lit with the same flame. If you have been hanging around with Christ long enough and you know his resurrection rubs off on you so that what you touch catches his fire. Paul says he wants to have this resurrected kind of life. I want to have that resurrected kind of life. He focuses on knowing Christ because Christ's power will enable him to overcome the power of sin in the flesh. Here's my second parable. Most people walk their dogs on leashes, or rather, the dogs walk people by dragging them along behind. But when a dog and his master have a close, tight relationship, I have a sister in Texas, her and her dog have a very close relationship. She calls it her little girl. But anyway, that master doesn't even need a leash. The only reason why he needs a leash is because of our society and the law. But they're so close that the dog stays close to the master. The relationship keeps the dog close by his side. He doesn't have to pull or tug the dog because the dog doesn't want to escape and doesn't want distance to come between them. So he wants to be close. Oh, sisters, I want that same closeness with Christ. We all want to be close to him. We want to feel what he felt. We want to love who he loved. We want to give who he gave to. We want to be as Christ was on earth. So we want to be like that little dog that wants to stay close to that master because we don't want to get far away. We want to be like that sheep that knows that shepherd and wants to stay, knows his voice. All he has to do is just walk into that pasture and that sheep knows his master. I want to be that sheep. I know you want to be that sheep. So I'm going to leave you with three profound ways to know him. Just three. There are many, but I'm going to leave you with only three. The first one is pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Talk to him. Ask for his guidance, comfort, and peace. Give him thanks and praise. And praise to him for who you're related to, who you're focused on, who you're not focused on, who aggravates you, who gives you an itch that you can't scratch. Just talk to him. That's how you get your closeness. And then the second point is study daily. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And then the third is walk in him. Light up the world with your goodness and kindness, showing others that you are a child of God and you know him. And he is who keeps you going day by day, night by night, minute by minute, hour by hour, year after year. These three things, among so many more, are your gateway to knowing him. Oh, I want to know him. And I hope I've said something that has encouraged you and edified you. I've just been edified and encouraged just by being in your presence even though it's over electronic device, but I'm in your presence. Thank you again for the invitation and bearing with me through my illness of my previous invitation and my personal sufferings. I've come a long way, my family's come a long way. We're not there yet. And as my grandmother says, when I know that I'm there, then I know I'm resting in his arms. May God bless each and every last one of you, and may he bless you real good. Sister, I'll turn it back over to you, Alicia.
Thank you, Sister Crenshaw. Hot dog. Yep, you never cease to amaze me. I get all these tidbits. I'm gonna make everyone jealous. I get all my tidbits from her whenever I want. I can call any time of the day. So I don't have to wait for a devotion. Thank you so much for giving us at least three ways to know the Father. Pray, study daily, and walk in him. Appreciate your words of encouragement. And I'm going to allow others on the call, if you want to come off mute at this time, to provide any encouraging words. I see some comments already in the in our chat. Sister Miller, she's loving the message and how you included the parables. And Sister Zakiya says, thank you for the message. Sister Leslie Savoy, she says, thank you so much for the encouraging, uplifting devotion today, Sister Lolita. God bless you. And thank you to her friend Janice for sending her the link. And she appreciates being able to get on the call. Sister Mae Johnson, there's so much noise outside of her house that she can't come off the come off mute at the moment, but she's thanking you, Sister Crenshaw, for your words to light the way, and thank you for living the message that you provided us today. Tracy, you know, awesome lesson once again. Sister Felicia Robinson, right on time, my sister. I know that's how she would want me to say it. Thank you for letting the Spirit lead you. Any others who want to come off mute? Sister Jordan?
Thank you so much for that message. It really resonates with me. I enjoyed your presentation. It was just great.
I did as well. Thank you, Sister Crenshaw. I love your parables, and both were so relevant and so real. I could relate to the those that you share. It really was helpful just to hear how much when you were talking about just the first parable, how hanging around and being around, how impactful it can be when we are around others. It should be the same way when Christ is living within us. So I really, really appreciated that. And also thank you for leaving us with the ways to know him, the gateways to know him. It was very timely. We appreciate you. Thank you, Sister Crenshaw.
All right, I'm gonna come off recording.